services as well. I have some other guests coming to the table.
So actually, I'm going to turn it over to Greg Williams, who is going to give the background and then and most of the presentation.
I believe.
Should I write my name?
Okay.
Thank you, Laura.
I'd like to introduce Catherine Cole has joined us. She is the new Library Network Manager. So welcome, Catherine. She also serves as the liaison to the Library District Advisory Committee, LDAC.
Great. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. So thank you for allowing us to present today. Once again, I'm Greg Williams, Deputy Director of Business Community Services, Catherine Cole, Laura Zentner. We also have in the audience, we've invited Maureen Cole as the chair of the LINC Directors Group. She's also the director of the Oregon City Library. And Alan is not.
Correct.
We had invited our chair of LDAC to come, but he was unable to make it today. So I wanted to give you just a quick background of why we're here and what we're proposing. I think as you probably recall, you know, in October of 2017, the county and the city of Gladstone entered into a settlement agreement under which the county agreed to construct and manage two new libraries, one within the Oak Lodge service area at a location to be determined after appropriate public input, and another facility in the city of Gladstone on the site of the current city hall. At the time that agreement was put together, we started to work with various stakeholders on how we needed to implement that agreement. And there were discussions about maybe modifications that needed to be made to the Library District Master Order or the Library District Master IGA in order to accommodate that settlement agreement. During those discussions, this board heard a lot of feedback from some library stakeholders about some concerns or questions they had about what some of those modifications might mean for the district. And so in response to that, the board directed the formation of a task force to investigate these issues and to try to come to some consensus on them. So with that direction, BCS staff started to work with library stakeholders, and what came out was we made a recommendation for two task forces. One we colloquially referred to as the Small Task Force. That was the Settlement Implementation Agreement Task Force. That group met over the summer of 2018 and focused on the least amount of changes necessary to the Master IGA, the Library District Master IGA, in order to implement the settlement agreement. That group's work resulted in Amendment Number 3 to the Library District IGA, which was adopted in November of 2018. The board also approved the formation of another task force to look at some of those bigger issues that had been identified by stakeholders in the library district. So things like funding, things like services, things like standards. And so over the past year, we've been working very closely with our library directors, with the Library District Advisory Committee, in order to create a proposal for the second task force, which we refer to as the Big Task Force, or the Library District Task Force. And we are here today to present that proposal to you and just go through it at a very high level. So you have the proposal in your packet for the Library District Task Force. I'm going to briefly go through some of the highlights, and if you have any questions, please feel free to let me know. One of the guiding principles in developing this proposal was to ensure that the task force provided opportunity for all stakeholders to participate. So we realize that changes to the IGA or even talking about some of these issues are going to require feedback and participation from every library service provider. So we have crafted a proposal which hopefully incorporates the participation of various stakeholder groups, including city managers, elected officials, Library District Advisory Committee members, library directors, members of the public, and local library boards. As you can see in the proposal, our proposed task force includes up to two representatives from each library service provider, as well as representation from unincorporated residents, representation from the LINC library directors, representation from the Library District Advisory Committee, and also the Library Network Office as the centralized service provider. We are also, we have proposed three subcommittees that will be advising that Library District Task Force. Each subcommittee is intended to be taking a look at one broad area of concern that was that we've heard from various stakeholders over the past year. We envisioned having one subcommittee work on questions related to library services, what kind of services district libraries should and need to provide to be able to meet patron needs going forward. Library funding, what are the funding sources and what are the amounts that are going to be needed to help us provide those services or be able to provide those services. And finally, district governance, how the library district is going to work, you know, what, if any, changes might need to be made to the master IJ in order to make that happen. The anticipation is that these subcommittees would meet on a more regular basis. They would have a similar composition to the main task force, representatives from each library service provider drawn from library directors, elected officials, etc. They would kind of do the work. They would investigate the issues. They would make some recommendations and pass those back up to the task force, the main task force. The task force would then review those recommendations, accept them, and then pass on work to the next subcommittee. So the idea was we would start by looking at services. Once that group had defined, you know, here's kind of what we're looking at, what the library district services were meant to provide, then we go on to the funding, how might we fund those, and then finally, once we have the services and the funding questions answered, what might be some governance changes or governance recommendations that need to be made. The task force would eventually synthesize all those recommendations into a single report that would be made back to the Board of County Commissioners. The Library District Advisory Committee would be given an opportunity to review that report and given sufficient time to review that report and to make any additional commentary or additional findings they want to convey up to the board. Then finally, at the end of hopefully about a year, the board would have the recommendations that were asked for when the board directed us to form a task force to investigate some of these issues that seem to be of concern around the district. As part of this proposal, you'll see in your packet, we do have an approximate timeline. I do want to point out a couple of the significant milestones that we've built into that timeline. We have already talked to a couple of cities individually about the task force to hear their concerns and to let them know what participation might involve. We do realize we want to have an opportunity to go out to all the cities, and so we have made to talk to leadership from all the cities, so we have built in some time to go and talk to the city managers group about the proposal. The library district is a very complicated beast, and so we have also built in some public education and stakeholder education sessions right at the beginning of this process to make sure that everybody is on the same page, understands how the current district structure works, how the funding works, and to try to answer as many questions as we can before the group gets started on their work so they can focus more on making some recommendations without asking some of the questions that we've heard many, many, many times from different stakeholders. Finally, as part of the work services, there was interest amongst some stakeholders about doing an online survey to get some feedback from citizens about what services they might expect from their library, what they might be expect to, what services they might expect to be offered district-wide. So we have built in some time for that survey to happen to gather some data to help inform the committee's discussions. And with that, I'll take any questions or any comments about the proposal in front of you.
Before I turn it over to Ken, you know what would be great is to maybe provide some training for commissioners to go out and speak on behalf of the district around the county. It's a great opportunity to connect. It's also a great learning experience for us and for the community. So I think that would be great. Ken?
Yeah, I'm cutting to the chase. Mm-hmm. Second to the last page, revenues are insufficient and shows a 39.74 per thousand assessed assessment that we're currently doing. Do you envision a new number, and if so, what is it?
I cannot. So the part that you're looking at, that was a letter that was sent by the Clackamas County Library Directors that was given to the Library District Advisory Committee. The feeling at the time when many of these discussions were happening about what changes, you know, were to be made to the master order or the master IGA, there was a feeling that some of the angst that these changes were causing were really related to funding. The funding was insufficient. We have not done any sort of formal examination of what level of funding might be more appropriate to help ensure sustainable funding. That's part of what we envision this task force doing, is once you start talking about here are the services we're trying to provide as a library district, here's what we envision libraries need to be able to do, here are the facilities they may need in order to be able to provide those services, then you can start to get an idea of, okay, what funding levels might be required. Then you can do a gap analysis, you know, what funding levels are we talking about, what funding levels do we have, and then go forward from there. But we also realize that's a conversation that needs to include every single stakeholder from the library district. It's not something we can, you know,
dictate. Well, if you're going to do a survey asking about the services that people would like to have, mm-hmm. maybe I should step up here. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a survey asking what services people would like to have, it seems to me you ought to include in there something along the line of information regarding the amount that they're currently paying, and would they be willing to pay X amount or Y amount or Z amount more, and, you know, let them check it off on the survey, and indicate that if it's, you know, 2 cents more, you get this, and if it's 5 cents more, you get this, and if it's 10 cents more, you get that kind of an approach. Because I think most people are going to say, what am I going to get for my money? And we put everything on, or not everything, but an awful lot on property tax, so I think you better be very direct with people about what their money will buy them. I would also tell you, I have a, I'm not sure if it's considered millennial or not, but a 40, 45-year-old son and daughter-in-law who see no purpose in libraries whatsoever because they have a computer and a telephone. So I'm not sure how you're going to cross that Rubicon, but those are some of the issues that you're going to have to address in a survey.
That is great feedback. I would love to have an opportunity to talk to them one-on-one.
I can kind of explain it to him.
I would as well.
Yeah. You know, we get books and movies from the library. He gets books and movies from the Internet. So, you know, but I realize there are other things that go on at the libraries because I've been there. But
we can also provide many of the same online services.
It has been an interesting family discussion. I'll put it that way. Paul.
I just want to just say right off the start here that staff, Greg, Laura, Greg especially because he's done a lot of lifting on this, has done a great job with this group. This is Gary, but he did. I won't say he misspoke, but he underestimated. When he said it was very complicated, he misspoke. It's extremely complicated, and the factors about this that I have one suggestion that's different than what's in the packet, and I want to get to that. But the one thing that for my colleagues is that each of these libraries have a portion of unincorporated surrounding them that is part of their service area. Yep. The cities, some of them, backfill, or so to speak, backfill, they would say mm-hmm. backfill, and they provide some funding out of their city funds to augment the district funds, not all, but some. The service areas are different, the unincorporated areas, and so on. So without getting too deep in the weeds, I think all of them, if not all of them, most of them. So I understand all the hard work, and you got to be kind of wonky to be in this to begin with. And I'm glad not to be at the table. So, but I've been in the audience and been called on frequently to help with opine on this, that, or the other thing. But there's something in here about the committee, this large committee that Greg's talking about, which I support. But there's a part in there that says about potentially elected officials being members. And I have a little bit of heartburn with that, only because I have experience with that. And if we're going to do that, then there ought to be an assignment for every one of them, for every one of the cities, because it creates an imbalance. And knowing that every city has an unincorporated area, that creates a larger problem. So my preference is no elected officials, frankly, and allow the city managers, who really are the liaison of the city council, you know, be that liaison. That's just my suggestion, because if we have one or two elected officials from around the cities, that could, and the amount of work that this is going to be, and the politics around the table, and people be, it's just the you have to be at one of these meetings to understand.
You're suggesting, for the first time that I can remember, actually not putting our ore in some water?
Exactly.
Good.
Exactly that. So that would be the small proviso that I would, because it's going to take a lot of work. And these three subcommittees, that's also in the work in the packet. We're going to see some duplication. We're going to see some LDAC members are going to be maybe on every one of these committees possibly, but you've got a very smart, intelligent group of people that are very dedicated to this, and it's extremely, just that one short-term committee we had demonstrated with a couple of attorneys in the room how difficult,
there's the problem.
Just to navigate all this. So that would be my suggestion. So I move to accept, was it option?
Wait, Martha has her card up. Let's let Martha make her own comments.
Yeah, I just want to say I agree with Paul. Don't put any electeds on. You have enough trouble as it is. Have enough trouble, frankly. No, we can always show up and be liaisons. And I was here, actually, was a member of the campaign in 2008 to get this levy. So are you suggesting another levy with additional dollars? Or we haven't talked about that yet. But it was actually one that was, believe it or not, it took a lot of hard work. We had George from the Mountain. He was really behind that. We really ran a campaign, and it is an easy sell. And I'd be glad to talk to your son and daughter, because one of the reasons you have libraries is because of access, and not everybody has a computer. And believe it or not everybody has a cell phone. And you can get free books on your Kindle through the library now, too. And it's not just books, it's all the other media that is now available. And so it's all about equity. That's what libraries really are. And the whole big thing about equity and diversity, well, libraries are.
That word equity may help me in my argument with him. Thank you.
It's about equity. So let me know what you decide, and I'll be glad to open another campaign.
So Martha, I also agree there should not be an elected official.
We were at an event
the other day, and you said, we're just here to listen, and that's true. We're just here to listen. So come back with a recommendation, and we'll support it, you know.
So I move that we approve option one with the amendment to not have elected officials on the committee.
Second. I would third that, but
we'll get to in a moment.
Any further discussion? The one thing I like about this is it's going to take a little time. You know, and the thing that is going to be true is, and I believe we'll have a downturn in the economy, construction prices will be lower. And I'm hoping for that, that we get to a point where we can build what we want at a lower price. Now, I had one question on funding. I know the Oak Grove Jennings Lodge, there's money being saved every month. Is that also true with Gladstone?
No.
Okay. Just checking. All right. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none.
Okay. Great.
Go forth.
And if I may, I also wanted to specifically thank Commissioner Savas, as he comes to all of our LDAC meetings, and his feedback and support of the group has been very much appreciated by both staff and by the committee members. So thank you very much, Commissioner Savas. We do appreciate your presence and your support
right
there.
Yay!
Thanks. Yay.